This program was produced by and first broadcast on Community Radio Hamilton, a volunteer-based community access station. For more information, go to www.communityradio.co.nz.
Stop consuming animals. You cannot deny that.
Hello and welcome to Community Radio Hamilton, Food for Thought, 106.7 FM or 1206 AM. On today's show, I'm going to be talking a little bit about some articles that I saw recently in the newspaper. The first article is titled Bob Kettridge, Buyers Want to End Barbaric Farming Methods, and this was from the New Zealand Herald. Basically, the gist of the story is it's a whole story explaining the advantages of free range and the SPCA's blue tick program, and I'm going to be explaining why even free range animal products still involve a lot of suffering and a lot of death and exploitation, and we shouldn't be promoting or using these products even if they are labeled as free range. After that, I'm going to be talking about a news story which again was from the New Zealand Herald about a woman who binned a cat and received a lot of death threats. I'm going to be explaining why the use of violence and threats does not help the animal rights movement. And once I've done all that, I'm going to be reading out a recipe for a chocolate peanut butter bar. But before I get into any of that, here's Earth Crisis from their album Slither. And Earth Crisis's whole band is Straight Edge and Vegan. That was Mechanism by Earth Crisis, and you are listening to Community Radio Hamilton, Food for Thought. Food for Thought is brought to you by the Vegan Buffet, on 148 Ward Street, where they serve absolutely delicious and very cheap vegan foods on weekday lunchtimes and also Friday dinner times. They're open till 7:30 on Fridays, so if you're around Hamilton and looking for a place to eat, then definitely check out the vegan buffet. Today I want to talk a little bit about an article that I just read in the New Zealand Herald. This is titled, Bob Kerridge, Buyers Want to End Barbaric Farming Methods. There is a quiet revolution occurring over what we choose to eat, stimulated in the main for all the right reasons. Much of the trend can be attributed to our interests in our own health and wellness, as well as greater awareness of our environmental surroundings, in which organic is safe, gluten-free is healthy, and free-range prevents animal cruelty. Now let me read that last line again. Free-range prevents animal cruelty. I don't know about you, but I personally consider the killing, the exploitation, and the commodification of sentient, innocent animals to be a form of cruelty. Commodification, killing, and exploitation all happen in free-range systems. A free-range pig still has to be killed at the end of her life so that she can become someone's bacon or someone's pork. And she still has to be treated as nothing more than property, as nothing more than an economic commodity. And in order to get free-range or organic milk, a calf still has to be separated from his mother, and if that calf is born as a male, he'll probably be killed because he cannot be kept as a herd replacement. And I don't know of any other word to explain that but cruelty. So no, free range does not prevent animal cruelty. Free range, factory farmed, barn raised organic, they're all just labels to explain various different types of mistreatment and exploitation of sentient animals who deserve to be living free and who don't deserve to be treated as our property, who don't deserve to be killed or exploited so that we can enjoy some product, some unnecessary product, for some certain amount of time. The article continues, we now want to know more about what we are eating, where it comes from, and if both our health and morality boxes are ticked. That's what we want, even if it's more expensive. First of all, we can tick both those health and those morality boxes without having to eat any animal products, free-range or factory-farmed. A vegan diet can be very healthy. I mean, obviously a vegan diet's not going to be very healthy if you're just eating potato chips, but a vegan diet can be healthy. In fact, it can be healthier than vegetarian and vegan diets. Many health experts are now saying that vegan diets are the healthiest. And so because we can be healthy on a vegan diet, and because it's the morally right thing to do, there really is no excuse not to do it. And the article also said that's what we want, even if it's more expensive. Now, there is no need to spend money on expensive animal products like free range, because veganism is the morally right thing to do, and it can be very cheap. I mean, if you think of the cheapest foods in your supermarket, they're going to be things like beans and rice, and that, of course, is vegan and much cheaper than your frozen meat and all that kind of stuff. Now, obviously, veganism is going to be expensive if all you eat is fake meat and soy cheese and all that kind of stuff, right? But if you're mainly eating your staple foods like your rice, beans, etc., then you'll probably have enough money left over to be able to splurge on the occasional, you know, fake meat or soy cheese or whatever else you want to. Now, not everyone can afford free range. However, veganism is affordable, and it's a moral obligation, because the reality is our best justification for exploiting animals is that we like how they taste. I mean, vegan products are healthy, they are affordable, and they are the morally correct option, and they're environmentally friendly, and the reality is there's no good reason for using them. The article continues more that within the food revolution, no cry has been louder for one of cruelty-free foods, and the increased supermarket shelf space dedicated to free-range eggs, and more recently pork, is clear evidence of this. As I just said before, free-range is not in any way cruelty-free, because it still involves the killing of innocent animals. The killing of innocent and sentient animals. And I don't know how you can describe unnecessary killing in any way being cruelty-free. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about different parts of this article in a second, but first, here's a little bit of one of my favourite bands. They're called Goldfinger. Their vocalist and guitarist, John Feldman, is a vegan, and this is from their album, Hang Ups. That was Superman by Goldfinger, and you are tuned in to Community Radio Hamilton, Food for Thought. You could be listening over the live streaming online at communityradio.co.nz. For more information about different ways you can tune in, check out fftradio.wordpress.com. Before the break, I was talking a little bit about an article that was talking about the free-range food trend. So now I'm just going to be continuing that article and explaining why free range is not a morally acceptable position, and it's not what we should be either eating, using, or advocating for. And I'm instead going to be talking about the importance of ethical abolitionist veganism. So the article goes, this free range trend is living proof that we do care deeply about the welfare of animals who provide our food. Now, first of all, this is a bit of a strange idea, the idea that we care about those who we kill and exploit. But I guess in a lot of ways it is true. Most people do care about animals. Most people aren't, you know, emotionless psychopaths who enjoy seeing animals suffer. Most people do have a natural empathy for animals. But I think that we should use this empathy in order to promote veganism and not in order to sell our animals by, you know, promoting free range. A lot of us have probably lived with cats, dogs, and those sorts of animals, and we love those animals deeply and consider them our family members. But the reality is that, morally speaking, they are no different than the cows and pigs that we kill every day. And if we can get people to use that empathy, and, you know, see those connections, and use them in order to go vegan, then we're going to be doing a lot more good than if we're promoting free range. Also, it's kind of interesting that he said about the animal welfare of animals who provide our food. Now, by saying who, he recognizes the sort of personhood of animals, because a lot of people would probably say about the welfare of the animals that provide our food. So he's recognizing animals' personhood, but he's also talking about, you know, killing them, which is kind of a strange sort of contradiction. The article later continues, however, as with other products, it is vital that as consumers, we have some guarantee that free range is exactly that, and not what some intensive farming operation would have us believe. Hence the emergence of the SPCA-approved blue tick label, which only appears on free-range farms that have been fully audited, inspected, and fall within the highest standards demanded by society. One question that I really want answered is, what exactly are these standards? How high can these standards be when these animals are nothing more than our property, and they exist solely to serve us, and, you know, solely to give us our meat, dairy, eggs, leather, whatever? Now, let's be realistic. The SPCA cannot go around every single farm to check that the conditions are okay all of the time. And, you know, this has been proved by overseas examples where the RSPCA has had a massive scandal because animal activists have broken into Freedom Foods farms, which is basically their free-range auditing system, and they've seen that the animals are living in absolutely appalling conditions, no different than they live in factory farms. And indeed, anyone who's heard of the Peaceful Prairie Sanctuary has probably seen their videos with the free-range hens that they've rescued that, you know, are in just as bad condition as the hens that live in factory farms. Because free-range isn't legally, it's not a very meaningful term. And I think that, I know overseas it only means access to the outdoors. I'm not 100% sure of the legal definition here in New Zealand, but I'm pretty sure it's something similar to that. And it doesn't in any way guarantee that they're going to be free from, that they're going to have lots of space. And it certainly doesn't stop the killing of them, and it certainly doesn't stop they're being treated as property. The article finishes off by saying, ironically, we have an Animal Welfare Act in New Zealand with the purpose of preventing pain or suffering to any animal, regardless of species, and to provide for the physical, health, and behavioural needs of all animals. The thing is, I'm not really sure that that is what the Act's purpose is, because it basically, as the Act says, it's an Animal Welfare Act, non-Animal Rights Act. And welfare laws only benefit animals, and they only prevent pain or suffering to animals when they are also benefiting humans. The reason for this is very simple. It's because animals are our property, and the interests of the property owner always come before the interests of the property. I mean, let's have a look at any welfare law that has been passed in this bill. For example, the law that you have to stun an animal before you kill them. This was not done because the government likes animals. This was done because when you don't stun the animals, you get all sorts of carcass damage, workers get injured, and overall it's actually more expensive. And if we look at campaigns to ban battery cages and sow stalls, the reason that the countries are phasing these practices out is because they are actually more expensive. Things, when you have animals kept in battery cages and sow stalls, you require a lot of vet costs and that kind of thing. So overall, it's actually less expensive to use other systems. So I do not think that the purpose of the Animal Welfare Act is to prevent pain or suffering to an animal, because if that was true, then the Act would promote veganism, and it would state that animals are not our property, because as long as animals are property, their interests are always going to come second, and they are always going to be subject to pain, suffering, and exploitation. No government or business is reasonably going to protect animals so long as they are property and so long as the public is not vegan. We as individuals need to take the initiative. If we want to see an end to animal exploitation, then we have to do something about it by going vegan and by promoting veganism, because the government doesn't want to turn our country into a vegan country, and, you know, the animal abusing industries don't want to turn our country into a vegan country. So if we really want to end animal exploitation, we have to do that ourselves. As Gandhi said, we have to be the change we want to see in the world. Now I'm going to be playing a little bit of I Killed the Prom Queen, and 4 out of 5 of their members are vegan. This is from their album Music for the Recently Deceased. Right after that, I'm going to be talking about some more interesting news stories. That was Sleepless Nights and City Lights by I Killed the Prom Queen, and you are listening to Community Radio Hamilton, Food for Thought, brought to you by the Vegan Buffet on 148 Ward Street, where they serve absolutely delicious and cheap vegan foods on weekday lunchtimes and also dinner times on Fridays. Now, in the New Zealand Herald, I recently saw this article about a woman who basically binned a cat. Mary Bale, who's 45, said she dumped the 4-year-old tabby Lola in a bin as a joke and didn't see what all the fuss was about. She received death threats on Facebook from a lot of violent people, some of whom actually called themselves animal advocates. And while I agree that what she did was bad, but the reality is that violence is not going to change your mind. And, you know, you can't scare someone into believing in non-violence. You can't use violence to make someone accept the idea of non-violence. It just doesn't work that way. And the fact that she was violent to an animal does not justify being violent to her. As Gandhi once said, an eye for an eye just makes the whole world blind. The ironic thing here is most of the people threatening her were themselves not vegans. So by eating animal products, they are harming animals far more than she harmed this cat. And it's very hypocritical to be so against someone, you know, binning a cat that you would resort to threatening them with death, but then eating dead animals and wearing dead animals every day. Now, even if they were vegan, it wouldn't make a difference. I still think that using violence or threatening to use violence is wrong and it does not help the movement. No one is going to listen to us if we just resort to violence in order to try to get what we want. There is something that you and I can both do today to help animals, and it doesn't involve promoting free range, doesn't involve promoting alternate forms of exploitation, and it doesn't involve threatening people or, you know, actually harming people in any way. And that thing that we can do is non-violent vegan education, and that right there is what's going to help animals. And that is what's going to get us that step closer towards a vegan world. Threatening people will not help us, and promoting animals will not help us. If you want more information on why you should, you know, promote non-violent vegan education as opposed to free-range or threatening people, then you can go to abolitionistapproach.com, or you can check out my site at fftradio.wordpress.com and click on the tab that says Why Vegan. And there's lots more places that you can find information if you want to learn more about the issue. There's heaps of other abolitionist podcasters and blog writers and all sorts of people, and there's all sorts of websites and leaflets you can check out. And one podcast that you can check out is Gary Francione's podcast. He's just released a new one which talks about the importance of veganism. He talks a little bit about some welfare reforms that Mercy for Animals have been going after and the problems with that. He talks about a abolitionist workshop that he recently held. And he also talks a little bit about the idea of personal purity versus, you know, sort of minimum standard of decency. And he explains that, you know, vegans aren't pure, and we're not claiming to be, but the fact that we cannot be completely pure and avoid all animal exploitation does not give us an excuse to engage in needless animal exploitation that can easily be avoided, like, you know, eating meat, milk, and animal byproducts, and wearing leather, etc. I was going to be reading out this recipe for a chocolate peanut butter bar, but unfortunately I don't have time for that today, so if you want the recipe, you can find it at fftradio.wordpress.com. On some future shows, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about some practical steps that non-vegans can take towards going vegan if you're finding the transition difficult. And I'm also going to be talking about how human rights and animal rights go together really well. And I'm going to be refuting the idea that vegans don't care about people and all that kind of stuff. Thank you so much for tuning in, and if you want to hear more about, you know, human rights and animal rights, and if you want to hear more about how you can go vegan and how to make that transition, then make sure you tune in next week. You can find out more information about how to tune in at fftradio.wordpress.com. That's fftradio.wordpress.com.
For more episodes of this Community Access Radio show, visit www.communityradio.co.nz. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this program available through funding the Access Internet Radio Project. Cheers, New Zealand On Air.